Performance USA, the greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the fighting men of the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week, till it's over, over there. Okay there, fellas, here comes that high-powered show presented by the Special Service Division of the War Department for you high-powered service men and women in the service of Uncle Sam and all the United Nations. So pull up a loudspeaker and sit down with the stars of Hollywood who are not only out this evening, but all out to answer those swell letters from Johnny Doughboy and company. And now meet the commanding officer of Command Performance tonight, called in by worldwide command of the AEF, your master of ceremonies, Robert Taylor.
Ken Carpenter, and hello, men. You've all heard of the Chinese theater here in Hollywood where the stepping stones in the lobby bear the footprints of the stars, but Command Performance is your stepping stone, with all the footprints filled by the magic of your letters, and tonight they're filled to overflowing. The first star we see tonight is a four-star constellation that's coming out for the whole AEF, and especially for Sergeant Burks and the high-octane mob at APO 959, for Larry Killen, Ted, and Louie down there in Panama, for a bombardment squadron in the bleak and barren hills around APO 937. Fellows, Command Performance sounding off with Mr. 5x5 and the King Sisters.
Mr. 5x5 is 5 feet tall and he's 5 feet wide. No measure no more from head to toe, than it do from side to side. Mr. 5x5 got 15 chins and a line of jive. He's a mellow old cat, a real head fat. He be Mr. 5x5. For a fat man, the only trouble is there's no way of knowing whether he's coming on or going. Mr. 5x5 is slightly plump on the bottom side. He don't shake it no more from head to toe than he do from side to side.
Well, twirl my turban, man alive. Here comes Mr. 5x5. He's one of those big, fat, bouncer boys. Solid, apple to port.
Mr. 5x5. Trouble is there's no way of knowing what he's doing, coming up, going. He's 5x5, plump on the solid side. He don't shake no more from head to toe than he do side to side. He don't shake no more from head to toe than he do side to side. try to die.
Swell, King Sisters, and many thanks. At this time, Command Performance has accorded me the honor of meeting one of our town's great comedians, a favorite of Jim Pierce in the Signal Department of Australia, of Stuart Irvin at Dutch Harbor, of Johnny Eubanks, who leads the rugged life at APO 937, Hollywood's gorgeous, glamorous, zany, Joan Davis.
Well, hiya, fellas, and thank you, Mr. Taylor, but you made a little mistake, Bob. You see, when I do a show for the soldiers, sailors, and Marines, my name isn't Joan Davis. No, it's Joan G. Davis.
Oh, really? Well, what's the G for?
Gladstone 2166. Wow! Hold on to your teeth, folks. I sure am pulling them tonight.
Joan, they tell me the last time you were on Command Performance, you did a love scene with Cary Grant.
Oh, it was nothing. Really, it wasn't. No. No, after all, love scenes with Cary Grant are a dime a dozen. Has anybody got a dime?
Well, Joan, ever since Cary told me about it, I've been kind of hankering to do a love scene with you myself.
Oh, go on.
Oh, no, really, really, Joan. You're very attractive.
Oh, go on.
No, in fact, right now, I'd like to take you in my arms and kiss you.
Go on!
No, I'm... Huh? I'm serious. I'm serious, Joan. I've seen you do all those wonderful love scenes and pictures.
Oh, you have, Bob?
Yeah. Where'd you ever learn to kiss like that?
Biting my initials in trees.
Ah, Joan, my sweet, believe me when I tell you, you're ravishing, you're lovely, you have international beauty.
Is that so?
When I look at your face, I see Paris, Bermuda, Rio, Havana.
Gee, I got quite a map, haven't I?
No, this is love, Joan, love. Call me what you like. Call me a fool. Call me a beast. Call me a wolf.
Call me a cab. I'm getting out of here.
Joan, my darling, just picture it. One day we'll be married and we'll buy a little home on FHA.
Huh?
You know what FHA is?
Oh, sure. That's where you get a house and you put a dolly down and pay a little money for years and years, and just when you're beginning to hate the place, it's yours. Thank you, FHA owners. Thank you.
We'll play house all day long, Joan. I'll be Mr. and you'll be Mrs.
Oh.
What fun we'll have. And my sweet.
Yes?
Do you know what we'll have after a year has passed?
No.
We'll have a little stranger in the house for you to cuddle and love while I'm away.
You mean we're going to take in a boarder?
Well, I guess that takes care of our love scene, Joan. I didn't do too well, did I? Tell me, is there someone else?
Well, yes, there is, Bob. Oh.
Some particular fellow?
Well, he's not too particular, no.
Tell me, what's he like?
Well, I just don't know how to tell you. It's just that, well... Oh, he's my guy. I don't care what he does, 'cause he's my guy. Yes, folks, my guy was a real guy. Blonde wavy hair, big blue eyes, broad shoulders, 200 pounds, 4 feet 11. Of course, I was taller than he was, but when we went out together, nobody noticed it because I wore flat heels and walked on my knees. Yes, what a romantic guy my guy was. Why, when he'd take me to the movies, we'd be just like Romeo and Juliet.
He'd sit in the orchestra and I'd sit in the balcony.
He used to tease me all the time because I was so skinny. So I went to a health farm. And right away I started gaining weight. Every day I put more on. Moron Davis, he used to call me. Yes, he used to say a lot of things that hurt me. But girls, when I'd run my fingers through his curly hair, it was all worth it. Do you know I found $3 in nickels there last night? So what gay times we had together. Why, I'll never forget the night we went dancing, and I accidentally tripped him. But he was swell about it. He just took me by the arm and broke it. And then came our wedding day. You know the old tradition about something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue? Well, it happened just that way. My guy took my old man's new car, borrowed $50 and blew. But nobody knows better than I that he's my guy.
Thank you, Joan Davis. And fellows, here comes Harry James and his orchestra. For Private Cannata and the Hepcats at APO 860. For Smith, Christie, Grimm, and the Navy Gang in Iceland. For the crowd at APO 937. And Private Whitten at 825. For the sailors at Londonderry, the Signal Gang at 811, and thousands more of you. It's I Cried for You. Ellen Forrest on the vocal, and Harry James.
Thanks a lot, Harry James. Well,
men, we're asking you tonight to join with command performance to honor the silver wedding anniversary of Mrs. H. A. Delamos in the American Virgin Islands. Just 1 year ago, Lorne Elwin Delamos left home to join the U.S. Army Air Corps. And these were his parting words. "Don't worry, Mother. Wherever I am, I shall try to be with you for the silver wedding anniversary. Unless my country needs me more." Well, his country did need him more. So, in our small way, we pay tribute to this Gold Star mother on her silver wedding anniversary with a song and the star she loves, "Through the Years," sung by Nelson Eddy.
Take my place beside you, smiling through the years. Through the years, I'll keep my place beside you, smiling through your tears. Come and hide you.
Thank you, Nelson Eddy. Well, gang, a flock of pigeonholes in the old command performance post office are chock full of letters signed by such fighting men as the Missouri Mules in North Ireland, the Arkansas Travelers in North Africa, who ask, "What's going down in Pine Ridge, Arkansas? And how's about hearing from the fair-haired sons of Pine Ridge, Lum and Abner?" Well, you're in, fellas. Radio's famous team of Lum and Abner.
Oh, they cut down the old pine tree.
Abner.
And they hold it.
Abner, for goodness sakes, how can I concentrate on my reading with all that singing and sweeping? Look at the dust you're raising here.
Oh, excuse me, Lom, I never aimed to. What you reading there, it's of importance anyway?
Oh, it's a book we got in the library here. It's called The Art of Self-Defense.
Self-defense? What are you reading that for?
Well, if I ever get a chance to take a whop at them Japanese, I want them to beat them at their own game.
Oh.
That's why I'm reading this chapter here for just jiu-jitsu made simple.
Huh?
That's what this chapter's about. It says jiu-jitsu made simple.
He was, huh?
Yeah. You see, jiu-jitsu is sort of the fighting that the Japs knows how to do.
Oh, well, what's them pictures there in that book, Erlon? What's them?
Well, they're pictures of fellas that's using these jiu-jitsu holds.
Oh, hey, doggies. They must have been awful big hurry to get them pictures took. They're even taking time to dress.
Well, they're dressed.
They got on their long underwear, Erlon.
Well, that's what they wear when they do this jiu-jitsu stuff.
Well, are we going to have to go around town in outfits like that?
No, of course not. They just wear them when they're doing the jiu-jitsu.
Well, Lom, if a Japanese jumps on you, he ain't going to give you time to strip down like that before you start fighting.
Abner, I'm trying to tell you that we ain't going to dress like that. Them's professional wrestlers in these pictures here. They get paid for it.
They couldn't pay me enough to run around the outfit like that all the time.
Well, just forget about that and help me appreciate how to do this now.
Huh?
The important part about this is to practice. Now, here's a good one called throwing opponent over the head.
Oh, throwing who?
Opponent. That'll be you.
Me? You mean you're going to throw me over your head?
Yeah, that's the idea. Now, listen to
now,
the direction.
Now, just a minute, Lom. I ain't going to let you or nobody else throw me over their head.
Now, Abner, this won't hurt you a bit. Not much, anyways, I don't think.
I don't care. I've still got 3 stamps left in my A book, and I want to use them up before I die.
Abner, there ain't a thing in the world to worry about. I've been reading this book most of the morning. I know exactly how it works. I guarantee not to hurt you. All I'll do is disable you a little.
Oh. Well, if that's all you're going to do, I'll try it once,
yeah,
I reckon.
That's better. Yeah. Now, let's see. It says, first seize left wrist of adversary, then raise your left foot against the thigh of adversary's leg.
Well, doggies, that's a pretty good trick. Who is adversary?
That's you. Here, give me your left wrist.
I thought you said I was opponent.
You're adversary now.
Oh. I believe I like that better anyway. Mr. Adversary Peabody. It sounds good.
Yeah, now then, in the same instant,
Mr. and Mrs. Adversary Peabody went to Cherry Hill Saturday to visit relates, and a good
Abner,
time was
pay,
had by...
Pay attention to what I'm trying to say here.
Here lies Adversary Peabody. Wait a minute. What am I saying here?
Well, just concentrate on the holes here now. In the same instant, hop as close to opponent as possible.
Opponent? Is he back again?
That's you.
Now, wait a minute, Lom. Who am I supposed to be, opponent or adversary? I believe I'd just as soon go back to Abner. I can't recollect all them fancy names, Lom.
All right. You're Abner, then.
Yeah, that's fair.
Now, it says for me to hold tightly with my right foot still in place and throw myself over backwards.
Well,
huh?
Here, wait a minute. You're wrestling yourself.
Carrying opponent with you.
Oh.
All right. You ready now?
Well, now, Lom, are you sure now that you know what you're doing?
Of course I know what I'm doing.
Are you sure that I won't get hurt when I fly through the air that way?
Oh, of course you won't.
Well, all right. Well, now, what am I supposed to do when you grab my wrist? Am I supposed to pull again you?
Oh, yeah, you're fighting again me.
Pull as hard as I can.
Try to keep me from doing it.
Oh, I'll pull as hard as I can.
Good.
Come on.
Here we go.
I ain't very strong, but I'll try.
1, 2, 3, go!
I reckon what got into old Lum. Jumped right over my head and right out the window without showing me that new hole. Well, I better get the floor swept out, I reckon. Oh, they cut down.
So long, Abner. Hope you find Lum. Thanks to both of you. And back for another command performance, the Lord High Trumpeter himself, Harry James. Hello again, Harry. What'll it be?
Well, Bob, mainly a sincere thanks to all those men in the AEF. Fellas, mighty nice of you to honor the boys and me. And for all of you everywhere, here's one of your favorites, the 2 o'clock jump.
Well, men, the rationing board in charge of doling out the minutes allows only 30 of same, so we're turning in our last coupon for tonight. But your command performance book holds good for the duration, so we'll be around with the all-star stuff again next week. And speaking of rationing boards, it's the job of a local board to spread things around in case of a shortage. But you guys over there are running a different sort of rationing board, an international one that's spreading steel and lead among the Axis. And brother, when you get through with your kind of rationing, there'll be a real shortage of Nazis and fascists and Japanese. This is Bob Taylor saying thanks and so long from the USA.
Command Performance USA, the greatest entertainers in America, answering the requests of you sons and daughters of Uncle Sam and you fighting and working partners throughout the United Nations. Thanks a lot for those letters, men, and send them to Command Performance, care of this station, or to the Special Service Division of the War Department in Los Angeles. And look for the reply each week and every week till it's over there. This is Ken Carpenter saying the best of the best from Command Performance. This program is produced for the men of the Armed Forces of the United Nations by the Special Service Division of the War Department of the United States of America. This program has been a part of our English language shortwave service.